A happy Victory Monday to everyone out there on the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. We're back here again. And like I said, it's Victory Monday. Glad to be here on a Victory Monday. Glad it's a Victory Monday. But we got a lot to unpack about what happened yesterday in week one of the NFL. It's hard to, I don't even know where to begin. I really don't know how to begin. Yeah. But before we begin, let's go ahead and let the music play. Eagles. A lot of that sung at the stadium in Detroit yesterday. That was the good part. I'll be honest. Yeah. There was a lot of Eagles fans, especially in the. I was in the visitor section. Of course, I was at the game, section 124, in the very back row. And a lot of the Eagles fans that were there, like when we started walking up the stadium, there was a bar that was about a good. I mean, basically right across from Ford Field. And it was all Eagles fans. They like took over the bar and they were having this huge rally. So they had their own canopies and tailgating. They were doing it right. They were doing cornhole and of course they were already all lit, you know, and singing. And that was kind of cool. We got in the stadium, you know, most of the Eagles fans around us were cool. Everybody trying to get the chant going. But I tell you what, as the game went on, I'm going to say this before we get into the game. I was kind of disappointed in our fellow Eagle fans that were at the game. They were starting to annoy the hell out of me by the end of the game. And one of the biggest reasons that I don't care if you act a fool or overly loud or say Lions suck. There's a couple of things that annoy me. And number one is not paying attention to the game. Being there more to get drunk than you are to actually watch your team. I'm a diehard Eagles fan. I don't play that. Our aisle was a constant Grand Central Station of people. It never stopped moving. And I was in the aisle seat, so I had to stand up the entire game, which is not a big deal, but I'm just saying, it was constant of me doing this, you know, looking from side to side, trying to get around people because they were going up two-fisting, back and forth. And I'm like, are you even watching the game? I saw the same people going back and forth like four or five times. I'm like, dude. So the one that I did say something to this one dude, because it was third and goal from the one for the Eagles. I want to say it was the second quarter one. And, you know, he's walking up to go get himself some more beer. It's third and goal from the one. You're not even watching the field, bro.
Right.
And he's going by slapping hands going, Eagles, Eagles. And he tried to do that to me. And I said, get away from me, dude. They're about to score. And he was like, oh, what? You know, and then he looks at the field. And then he kept walking. So he checked to go, oh, you're right. They are. Let me go get some beer. So they score, right? They score. Mm-hmm. Dude comes walking back down with his two beers. And he's going, E-A-G-L. And I told him, shut the hell up. And he looked at me like, you're an Eagles fan. Why are you doing this to me? I said, you don't even know who scored. You don't even care. You're there to drink and party and say Eagles over and over. And that kind of annoyed me. But it was like during the national anthem, there were people that were leading chants, Eagles fans leading Eagles chants out in the concourse. I'm like, it's the anthem, dude. What it was.
On 9/11 at that.
Yeah. Lord. Yeah, on 9/11. Exactly. So that being said, you know, I was able to put up with that. The Lions fans were cool to us. There was a guy at 10:30. We walked into the stadium. I took a friend of mine who was a Cowboys fan just because I had the extra ticket and my wife couldn't go. So it was cool. We had a good time. He's a good guy. But we walk into Ford Field, and this dude just comes running up to me. He looked like Chris Farley. He was just big old gut, sweaty. Mm-hmm. He's sweaty from drinking since 6 o'clock that morning, apparently. 10:30, and he is slurring his speech. He gets right up in my face and goes, "We're going to clip your wigs. We're going to clip your wigs." And I was like, dude is going to be passed out before kickoff. And I'm sure he was. He was probably kicked out. I don't know. It was crazy.
It looked like it was a packed house in there.
Sold out. It was loud. It looked like it was a packed house in there
for sure, man.
It was loud in there. I'll give it to the Detroit fans. I grew up in Detroit, and so I have a soft spot in my heart for him. A buddy of mine was at the game. It was his birthday, and I didn't even – so shout out to Brian Abner. I didn't even know he was there. He came up on my Facebook because I posted that I was at the game. I didn't even see it till this morning. I didn't even know. He was like, we were section 124. He was 139. He was just down. I just didn't even know.
I was just, yeah.
But, so I have a soft spot, and they showed out. The Lions fans were there for game one. They're supporting their team, and they've got a pretty decent team, as evidenced by what we saw, especially a pretty decent running back in DeAndre Swift, for crying out loud. Give me a break. I'm going to see that guy in my nightmares for a while. Until we face Dalvin Cook this coming week. Holy smoke. But it was loud. It was loud, and it was intense. And I was drained by the end of it because of how the ups and down went. And by the fourth quarter, I was just leaning against the wall, just like shell-shocked. And when the game was over and the Eagles escaped with a three-point victory, even the Eagles fans weren't cheering. Everybody was just... the energy was just gone. Everybody
exhausted.
There was nobody yelling. Everybody just wanted to get out of that stadium, both Lions and Eagles fans. Everybody was cool. So, yes, probably one of the most memorable games I've ever been to because of the way it played out. But looking back over the whole game, we got the Eagles coaches have some splaining to do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're Eagles podcast season two. Lee and Tubby, let's get the big stuff out of the way. Thanks for watching us on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook Live. And also, if you're a regular podcast subscriber, which we're growing every week, you're listening to us on Spotify, Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Castro, Podcaster, Stitcher, all of those. Thank you. And if you were not on your favorite podcast provider, make sure you send us an email at lee.bird, that's byrd.eaglesdare@gmail.com. Yeah, so just my opinion. I thought that it was the biggest takeaway I have of this game was it was very poorly coached. Now, granted, week one, everybody's rusty. I get it. But, man, they looked like amateurs out there, both Sirianni and Gannon, to me, watching what was going on. What did you think watching it at home?
Yeah, man. Nah, I echo that, man. Poorly coached. And I think the poor coaching started by the lack of reps in the preseason. It started before the Eagles even showed up to Detroit. I thought, and you got to see it almost immediately, right? You have the defense, right? Give up a 51-yard run on the very first drive to Swift, like you mentioned. I didn't know if Swift was a little juiced up because he's from Philly. Probably grew up an Eagles fan, so. I would imagine he's a little pumped up to play the birds. You saw the lack of reps on the defensive side almost immediately. I mean, he was almost untouched. I mean, right through the yard. You know, a lot of their runs, like they were getting to the second level so quick. It was like, before you know it, 10 yards, 12-yard runs, and you got the 51-yard run by Swift. And then, they scored a touchdown. Williams, you know, a little missed tackle. You know, even though it looks like it stopped, you have Epps. Epps kind of comes in, but he doesn't really hit him. He kind of turns his back, and it just looks like from not getting a lot of tackles in, again, reps, you know, coaching, preseason. They probably could have stopped them there. But, yeah, they score, and then we come out. And, well, let me go ahead. What you think about the Lions' first drive? So, on that defensive side, I don't get too long-winded on it.
Oh, yeah, no, you're fine. It was one of the worst things that could have happened in that time frame. It could have really been because the crowd was so loud, and if the Eagles could have got them on that three and out, they come out and they stop the first play right off the bat, which was exciting. You know, think, okay, that defense we saw in that Jets game, man, they're going to show up. Lions have a really good offensive line. Let's just put that out there right now. Dan Campbell's come in as a new coach, and that was priority one. He's got DeAndre Swift. Let's build up a line. And I'm just going to say this right now. If Jared Goff was a halfway decent quarterback, and he's just below decent, in my opinion, just below decent. But if he was a halfway decent quarterback, the mm-hmm. Eagles would not have won that game. He threw behind some receivers. He had time to throw. You know this if you watch the game. And that offensive line gave him time to throw. And he did very, he did, you know, he had some good plays. If we look overall at the stats, let's take a quick look at Goff's stats real quick. I'll bring these up. That's Hurts. Let's go to Goff. Let's see. Goff was 21 of 37, 56 completion percentage. That's the big thing right there, 215 yards. But man, he got a lot of balls to Amon-Ra St. Brown, 64 yards and a touchdown. And yeah. Chark showed out, 52 yards and a touchdown. So,
yeah.
If Goff was halfway decent, those numbers would have been so much worse.
And the Lions had some drops too.
Yeah.
They had a few key drops. And I was like, whoa. At key times, some wide open guys. But yeah, so that whole first half, I don't even know if Goff even cracked 60, 70 yards passing. No, it has right here. Yeah, at the end of that half, we don't want to skip over. But, he only ended the half with 55.
Right.
And the Eagles looked well in control of that game too. So even when we come out, going back to the rust and coaching, Eagles get the ball down seven. I'm like, oh man, it's kind of like last year, man. It's almost like if the other team were receiving, they would come down. So we would be down three or seven all the time. And I was just like, man, here we go again. First team, offense comes out there. For the first time, they're already down. They're already maybe pressing already. We don't know. So, and then, short thing, Hurts goes 0-5, up out of there. Had a couple key runs, had a 3rd-and-15 run. That was huge.
Yep.
But you just start the game with a run, and you like, oh, man, I thought we was going to do better than this. You start the game, Jalen Hurts run. I'm just like, no, we have all these running backs, all these receivers, and we're starting with putting our – quarterback immediately in danger. Like, he could have been out the first play of the game for a design run. So I was just like, man. But the rush, you saw it immediately in that first drive. And, Hurts just bailed himself out a few of those times, man. But the offense just looked like – they look like they haven't played in a month.
Right.
And they look like they haven't. You can't just – last week we talked about Peters just getting off his couch blocking. Yeah. You can't just not play – real football, which Kelce even said in his post game. It's about the first time we've played real football, especially him. He's like, the first time I've played real football all year.
Right.
So, and it looked like it. These are still professional athletes. And like you talked about the Lions team, they aren't scrubs.
No.
Yeah. I don't project them to have a terrible season. They may surprise a lot of teams, man. And you're right, that line, man, pushed us off almost immediately. But then the defense did start stepping up. So it looked like Russ early on because, they go down and score, but then the defense shuts them out. They stop, three straight drives, right? And then you have, then we respond. After we get the ball back, boom, we keep responding. And let's see, we got the first drive. That was that one. Them three and outs is a really big deal. You had that stall drive, but Goff is still only on 6 yards at this time.
Right.
The whole time, Goff is still at 6 yards. So it doesn't look like Gannon is playing that bad of a defense because you look at Goff's number, you're like, man, they're dominating. Then you have 2 3-and-outs in a row.
Right.
And it looks like you're doing really well. But the game always looked like, man, the Lions are one or two plays from really breaking it open. Had a couple drops here and there.
Exactly. Because outside of the first quarter and the fourth quarter were absolutely abysmal offensively for the Eagles, and that kept the Lions around. The problem was the running game was always there for them all day. It never stopped, and that's Gannon's responsibility. So what hurt the Lions? There were a couple of drives there where I thought they hurt themselves. There was a drive in the second quarter where they three Goff passes. Not a single run. I went, why did they abandon the run when they're killing us with the run? Three straight passes, 3-and-out. I was like, thank you, because that's bad coaching on their end. And so the Eagles get the ball back. And, of course, well, you mentioned it was the first possession of the Eagles and then basically the entire game. Let's just talk the entire game. The Lions were bringing pressure. Mm-hmm. They were playing single high safety the entire game. And there was two things that really annoyed me about it was, number one, you could see it. They're bringing 5-6 guys, sometimes even more, and they're bringing a safety. They're bringing outside linebackers from around the edge.
They're showing it.
And what they were doing was they were moving Hurts off his spot. So it'd be easy to blame Hurts for taking off running, but it was like snap, boom. He's got to make a quick decision. Yeah. So he threw a couple that were just like really badly thrown because they were already in the backfield. So Eagles fans blaming the people there at the game, blaming the line. I'm like, do you not see that they're bringing 7 guys? It's not the line. No line can stop what the Lions are doing right now. What the Eagles should have been doing, though, and they eventually did, and it took the Lions by surprise and kind of affected the game. They started lining A.J. Brown up and doing slants. Once they started A.J. Brown, let's just say right now, we don't MVP of the game. Without Brown, we don't win that game. What an amazing performance for Brown. It was just insane. Let's look at his numbers real quick. Brown went, so Hurts himself went 18 to 32 for 243. He also had 90 yards rushing, which is a great day for Hurts. But A.J. Brown targeted 13 times, 10 receptions for 155 yards. Didn't have a TD, but dang, that was a heck of a performance. So they started using Brown to kind of beat that man, the single high man. The problem,
he was getting physical.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Versus Smith, Smith didn't have any catches that game, but no. I thought Smith wasn't really getting off the ball like he should have. Everything was so methodical with him. Yeah. He's trying to be so eloquent through his routes, and AJ Brown was more boom boom, throw me the ball, and it worked. And you see Hurts be able to get. I remember the one play when they blitzed and Hurts had to scramble left. I'm like, man. Why is it taking Smith so long to get out of his breaks? He's so slow off the line.
Yep.
And I thought that was a problem, man. I don't know why he kind of stood out to me in that game. And I was like, man, is he hurt? Is something
right?
Groin injury, hamstring or something? Not getting him off the. I didn't think that. Then a few plays where he did have one catch, Devontae, but then it got called back. I think we had like an eligible player downfield. Then there was another one that went to Devontae, and it got. He had the penalty, but then we had a penalty. No, that's when Lane was downfield. That was when Lane Johnson kind of
had the offsetting penalties because they had the pass interference. Out, but, he got mauled, basically. But it was a good play.
Right. Even though the Eagles have 4 rushing touchdowns on the day, that was crazy. But really, the passing game was there because Goddard got it down to the 1 or 2 yard line twice. I mean, that's just the difference between whether Goddard can score or not, but Goddard got it down, and then AJ Brown that got it down to the 4 yard line. Now we didn't end up getting a touchdown, I don't think, off the AJ Brown. That was the field goal towards the end of the half.
Field goal at the end of the half. Yep, it was huge. But still, it was still huge.
Huge, but our passing game got us down to the 2 and 1 yard line. They're just right there, and then boom, we punched it in. So it looks like our run, we got run heavy. We just made smart calls at the line. We went to our strengths down there. And ran the ball in for those 4 touchdowns, but the passing game was there. Like I said, AJ Brown, man, he just looked different than any other receiver on the field. He looked very dominant. Even on that 54-yard play, he dragged Buddy about 10 yards.
That was amazing.
I mean, he was saying, someone please call 911. I mean, he was just holding on. And AJ Brown was just dragging. He didn't get help right there at the end. That was touchdown.
That would have been amazing. I thought he was going in, but yeah, exactly. He looked like an elite athlete. He looked like a top-tier NFL athlete, something the Eagles have not had until this year. It's going to make a difference the rest of the season. But you brought us something up there that was really interesting. Is like you talked about the passing game was what put us in line to score, and yet the running back scored the touchdown. I looked at the stats in the fourth quarter when we were struggling to keep the ball and giving it back to the Lions and keeping them in the game. Sanders had 10 carries by the fourth quarter. That's it. Again, so I'm like, here we are, season 2. I was going to say it earlier. We got a new theme song. We got a new intro, but it's still the same old Eagles. Because Sirianni, when I was watching that, he got into trouble when the Eagles got a lead, and both him and Gannon took their foot off the gas when it was up 38 to 21. Both of them just went, we got this now, 38-21, no problem. And the creativity was gone. They didn't even run the ball, and you're up 38-21.
Right.
They're still backing up. And I'm going to say it right now. This is the biggest thing for me right now that I'm going to lose my mind. Or there's 2 things I'm going to lose my mind. The deep zone for Gannon, which we're going to get into in a little bit. If that man doesn't stop running deep zone when he's got some of the best defensive players in the world on the field, and you're running deep zone for 75% of the game, that one drives me crazy. And Sirianni running Hurts out of the shotgun 90% of the time.
True.
You cannot establish an effective ground game if you're going to keep Hurts in the shotgun 95% of the time. He literally went under center, I think, twice that I saw. And I was going nuts. I'm like, they're keying on what's going on. The Lions have so much tape from last season, and so the Eagles didn't do anything different offensively. And it's really frustrating as a fan because you know the talent that we have. And with the Devontae thing, you're right. Him and Pascal both, and even I think Quez got in there a little bit, very lackadaisical in their route running. Only Goddard and Brown were actually out there fighting to get open because the Lions played, I would say they played at least 75 to 80% of the game in single high safety man. And I'm not joking. In fact, I got a little graphic here I actually pulled off the game. And the thing is that you could apply this to just about every down in the game. You could go through the game and look at this. So if you're looking at this right now, this was what the defense, the Lions ran. Eight men in the box and look man up on the Eagles receivers. This made it really difficult for Jalen Hurts to react because he knows that they're going to get bumped. Yeah. And it put him in a really bad situation. And so they were coming in off the edges. It was they were able to stuff the run when they needed to. I didn't know that the Lions gave up 38 points. If you saw how they gave up those points, it was like some really just good playmaking by A.J. Brown, like you said, by Goddard, by Hurts. They were able to escape. But when the Eagles got up 38-21 and they needed to move the ball, that's when the Lions defense kicked into gear and was not letting them get anything. And that's when the crowd got back into it, man. I watched people when it got 38-21 start to head for the exits. And then the Eagles just let the Lions come right down the field and score in 2 minutes. I think you texted me about that. 75 yards in 2 minutes to bring it back to make it 38-28. And then all of a sudden, all the Lions fans just went, hold up.
Yeah.
Maybe this ain't the same old Lions. Maybe we can stay and see what happens. And sure enough, as an Eagle, I was dying. I was like, this is enough. And I lay a lot of the fault at Gannon. So I showed you the Eagles or the Lions defensive front. Let's look at the Eagles. 75% of the time, they're in this. I was watching every single down. Because you know how I am about Gannon and what I said last week when we talked about Gannon and his defense. And I'm like, if they are going to run in this deep zone where they've got everybody off the ball, you can't stop the run and you can't stop the pass. I was watching the Lions throw out of this with three wides, running the ball with DeAndre Swift. They had their way with the Eagles when the Eagles were running this. Because when the ball is snapped, all of these guys that are standing at the 20 and back just stand still. They just stand still. They're just standing still. And I'm watching the Lions receivers go wherever they are, stop, catch the ball, and every Eagle defender has to now run up and catch them or chase them down. Yeah. And if it wasn't for Goff not being able to hit anybody, they would have killed us. They would have killed us. Goff had a decent day. If it would have been Brady, we saw what Brady does against this defense. If it's a decent quarterback, it really is frustrating because we're so much better than giving up 35 points to the Lions. I know this. I know those guys are better. And you're not putting them in the position to make a play. And that's frustrating to me.
The offense, it wasn't until the fourth quarter. Here's just how the game went for us and just how much pressure can be on our offense. The offense didn't have a three and out until the fourth quarter. And your fourth quarter is the first time you've had a three and out, meaning your defense has had time to make adjustments all game because you're not just going out there three and out, coming right back. That's how we scored a lot of our touchdowns because the Lions went three and out, right? And we scored. They went three and out again. And I think we scored. No. Then we three and out again. Then we stalled. And then we got the pick six from them.
Yeah,
that's huge. So it was like three and out, pick six. And you saw that momentum going on their side. So you're like, man, okay. But then they go down, they score in the last drive of the second half. And it was just like, man, give up that big play to Reynolds. Another like that third and seven, where Goff, we got McLeod coming right down, just tackle the quarterback, bro. And Goff just shakes him and gets the first down. You're just like, what? I mean, just
that was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. Just like the third and 10 run for 12 or 13 yards with Swift.
Yeah.
Third and 10 and you run the ball. You know how much confidence you have
right.
that your line is winning the fight. That is third and 10. And you say, yeah, DeAndre Swift counter, wherever he ran off the off the left side. And it was like easy. He one cut, 10, 12 yards untouched, ran out of bounds. You're just like, wow. So you always even hoped that the defense gave you a break too, because the offense played well. Like I said, first three and out was the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And you look up, you're still only up 3 points. That's not fair. It's not fair to the offense to have your first three and out in the fourth quarter. You look up and you put up four touchdowns on the offense and you look up and you're still in the up three.
Yeah.
It's not fair. That means you're pressing the whole game. You have to be something like an offense had to play perfect. I know you said Goff did a lot of things. You know, Goff was a better quarterback. Shoot, if our guys stalled at any point, that game could have got out of hand.
Yeah.
You know, scoring those four offensive touchdowns. Hello. That's a huge, huge deal, man. And that's why all my energy was for the defense today. Because if they made any stop anywhere in that second half, this game is over. We go up 17 points in the fourth quarter. Make a stop any point in time. Your offense gave you four. Defense gave us one, two. It's five touchdowns, and we're still struggling.
Right.
Why? It's because of our scheme.
Yeah,
they can get in the game. They can get back in the game at any time because of the scheme that you just showed us with just playing off the ball, Reynolds, St. Brown. They're able to just find any spot they want. Hockenson, which I thought he got a phantom call.
Yeah, he did.
Pass interference.
Yeah, that was
I wasn't really feeling that. I thought it was a little quick.
Yeah, that was
a bad. But that Hockenson call was, I thought it was a bad PI call, and then they scored off of that. It's like, damn, it's like a bad play or a bad call, and then you have a score. And it just keeps going. But hey, when Goff threw the pick six, remember before that it was a drop pass.
Yeah.
For first down.
Yep.
Second play, tip ball, which Kazir White made an incredible tip. Bradbury catches the ball. Did you see Kazir get right up and make the first block?
Yes.
So you tipped the ball, got right back up. You didn't celebrate. You didn't do the cabbage patch out there. You didn't, you know, none of that. You got right up.
Yep.
And blocked the first guy you saw. Bradbury got around that guy and scored the touchdown. I mean, that's such a when he gonna be the man in the tape room. When you see I tip the ball, I get up and I make the block for the touchdown. That's the plays that they respect. You're right. On a different level. It's easy to, you know, celebrate when you've done something good, but when you just made a dog of a play, that tip just to be in that lane. You know, for him to be able to read the lane to get in that space, tip it. Bradbury, Johnny on the spot gets right up. Bounce right up from the ground, and you see all the Eagles defenders just turn around and start blocking, create that little cavalry. He goes, and he didn't even need to jump. Like, he jumped after he scored. It was like weird. I'm like, but yeah, man, I thought, man, we were on them, man. And then we stopped running the ball. We didn't even start the game. Remember that whole first drive? Not one run. I don't remember seeing.
No, it just hurts.
Which so it's here we go. Right. No running back runs. And then you saw the Eagles' offense start to get better when Gainwell had that first nice run. I'm sorry. Miles Sanders.
Had
that
first nice run.
And then the second drive, the drive that we scored.
Right.
It was like 26
yard. Yeah. Oh, you're talking about the 10-yard one. I was talking about the 20-yard one. That was a beautiful drive.
Yeah. He had a few in the game that were really good. But like just when we weren't passing the ball, and you're like, dang, did Nick Sirianni learn from last year? Because it seems like, why would you start out the game on a rusty squad and just start throwing it? Screen. You just, bro, run the ball.
I didn't get it. And now, granted, you know, like we talked about, there was a part there in the game. Let's look real quick at Miles Sanders' numbers. He ended up with 13 carries for 96 yards. It's 7.4 yard average per carry. He had a 24-yard run. That's one I was referring to. Touchdown for him, one for Hurts, one for Gainwell, and one for Scott. So all the running backs got on the board. Even Gainwell, five for 20. Boston Scott, 4 for 10. I would like to see more Sanders. I get that they bring Gainwell in there and Scott. My thing is Sanders broke off that big one right before the 2-minute warning, before the half, and then you take him out for Gainwell, and Gainwell gets stuff behind the line of scrimmage. I'm like, all right, you just had the guy. Sanders is hot. I am so tired of Nick Sirianni Sanders is on a roll. Sanders on a roll. You wouldn't take out Saquon Barkley when he's on a roll. You wouldn't take out Derrick Henry when he's on a roll. You don't take out Dalvin Cook when he's on a roll. But for some reason, you take out Miles Sanders when he's freaking hot.
And it's it like was a forcing Gainwell.
And it wasn't like he was gassed because you had a 2-minute warning. And then they trot Gainwell out there, who is a buck 05 at best. And it's frustrating to me. And I get we've got Gainwell and Scott. You want to get him involved in the game, but it's frustrating to me. And you know, it's the name of this episode is it's almost like a loss because I'm glad they won, but I expect it's so much better. Now I'm hoping that maybe this is that week one. This is getting that preseason out of the way, but something tells me that Sirianni and Gannon both haven't learned from last season and they've got all this talent that is allowing them to win games. But as coaches, they don't have the ability to win the games when they need to. They're going to be outcoached every single game because, like we've talked about the shotgun, we've talked about the lack of a running game. They should just be lucky that the second quarter and the third quarter played out the way it did. If, like you said, the Eagles are up 21-7, they should be able to put this team away, and they let Goff come right down the field. And again, with that defense lined up back, that's how Goff was able to shake and bake and pick up a first down. You've got everybody back off the ball in the red zone.
Right.
And you've got everybody off the ball. And so he takes off running. Goff! And he shakes and bakes and gets down to the 10-yard line. And they score to make it 21-14 right at the half. If we don't get that ball to Brown and then get that field goal at the end of the half, a different game. If we don't get that Bradbury interception, different game. And then they come out to start the second half and score to make it 31, and then it was huge. Now we're up 31-14, and they still can't seem to put the Lions away. And I put that solely on Gannon. You had this team where you could have just ended it in the third quarter, but yet you continue to play off the ball in a prevent defense 80% of the time. And it's just it the lack of football awareness. And the fact that here's another thing. Watching the personnel, Jordan Davis, can't miss him when he's out on the field. They're running the ball all over us. Every time Jordan Davis is in, rewatch the game. Mm-hmm. Every time Jordan Davis is in, the Eagles are effective against the run. They're stopping the run. He only played 30% of the snaps. Now, I know he's a rookie, and I know you don't want to kill him, but 30% is a very low number to a great run stuffer when you're getting run on.
Yeah.
And it seemed like Fletch and Hargrave were having a hard time in the middle.
They were.
And a big part of that was, like you said, they were getting to the second level. Our linebackers are way off the ball because Gannon wants them in pass coverage. We've got Hassan Reddick and Kazir White that could constantly disrupt the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And we're throwing them back there in pass coverage.
Yeah.
It's just
another concern, even with that soft coverage. So it's kind of like a where do we go from here? It's almost like man, okay. My biggest takeaways or the biggest things I think the Eagles need to improve on, like just throughout the game, watching how we couldn't get pressure with just our front four. It's going to be hard to beat a lot of teams if you're not getting pressure with your front four. I don't think we've really got a sack. I know they called it a sack, but like Goff fumbled the snap technically. So I don't know if it's not your traditional sack, if you will.
Yeah.
So it's still, I think my narrative's still there. We need to get pressure with our front four and get a sack, just a proper sack. Because now when we do dedicate guys and we have them playing off the ball, it just really opens up bigger gaps in our defense. Because even when we blitz, it's like we're not getting there. Or if we do, we're just like a step late. So it maybe not, you know, maybe should come up the middle a little bit more. I did see Hargraves get manhandled a few times. I seen Williams get manhandled a few times. I'm in there on a few of like those counter plays. Like they just took themselves right out of play. Got, you know, but that line from the Lions, they blocked really well. They were off the ball. They fired off the ball. And, you know, you made a comment earlier, and I don't know if I completely disagree with the Eagles fans that say the line, because this goes back to last year. I'm not really sure our tackles are that great at pass blocking. I think they're very good. I think they're very good at run blocking. I think they're guys that want to go forward. But I think when you get them going backwards, man, I just seen guys get in there way too quick. I seen Hutchinson get in there a few times, just way too quick. Even off of blitz, I'm like, are we not making the adjustment right? Where we're not seeing where the blitz is coming from. Then I'm like, we're getting every play in. How many delay of games do we have?
Oh, geez.
That game. Yeah. Or if we did, we had at least two, I remember, which right. is too many in an NFL game. Maybe one a game is acceptable. Two is unacceptable.
And then having to take timeouts, too, in addition to the right. delay of games when the play clock's running down. It definitely exactly. showed that preseason rust of not playing your starters, not being in these type of situations, being in a loud stadium and not being prepared. Because right. I don't know how many times Hurts had to look over to the sideline and they weren't ready with the play. Defensively, mm-hmm. it was just, yeah, both sides right. of the ball. Like you said, the offensive line, I thought played, in my opinion, played adequate. But yeah, yeah. the blitz, picking up the blitz was a big problem because Detroit right. blitzed, I want to say 75% of the time. No they God. Were in that formation with the single high safety. Mm-hmm. And only a few times did mm-hmm. the Eagles burn them on that. And that was the A.J. mm-hmm. Brown play. You either got to throw a slant. This is football 101. Right. You got to throw a slant, or you got to go deep on that single high safety and make them pay for bringing everybody up.
Down too. Few of those blitzes, a few of them got batted down.
Yep.
As well too. But I do think that one of our weaknesses is our pass blocking on the line. I think we have very good run blockers, and I'm not saying they're not good players. That's like the weird part about it. I'm not saying they're not good pass blockers. They're just not as elite as we would like them to be. I mean, the reason why Lane Johnson plays right tackle is because he's a run blocker. If Maialata wasn't at that left side, like if we had like a Peters type block, a real kick, you know, like mm-hmm. Trent Williams, Peters, real kickback, you know, pass blocker, real sumo type pass blockers. Maialata would be on the right side as well too, because that's his strength. His strength is going at you in that rugby style, right in the, you know, going right at you. So I do, and I saw it last year, but I don't want to dwell on that because that wasn't the problem in this game. The problem was we could not stop the Lions' offense. I think our offense was fine. I thought our offense was just fine.
Yeah, no.
You know, but it's just a little tweak there. I'm like, man, I do think sometimes, man, I don't think we pick up the blitz well, which, mm-hmm. like you said, you can't pick them all up. I get that. But even sometimes on the front four, I thought Hutchinson was having somewhat of a good day at times, at least disruptive.
Yeah.
Very disruptive. It was a few times where you know, Hurts getting out of his drop and it's a guy already in his face, mm-hmm. just right almost immediately. So. Anyway,
I'm right there with you. I think Hurts had a great game. I'm tired of hearing about missed throws and stuff like that. Yeah, for being under pressure like he was, to be able to pull it down and run with it, I don't want to see him do that all the time. I'd rather see him throw a quick slant. But offensive, right. So I'm going to get off the negative bandwagon because we've done that enough on this episode. And I do think, hey, they still won. The offense still scored 31 points. There's some things that are scary, especially as an Eagles fan going forward. One of the things, like you said, offense is the last thing I'm going to say negative, is that we don't have I was, you know, watching some of the afternoon and evening games, and one of the things that I miss is watching these evening games when you see the blitz coming and they have that back that's there that could pick up one of the blitzing linemen that are coming through.
That's a good point.
We do not have a back that can do that. Maybe Sermon could be that back. He was inactive for this game. But Sanders isn't going to pick up a blitz. Gainwell sure as hell ain't going to pick up a blitz with him being Buck 05. And Boston Scott is Grogu. I mean, he's Baby Yoda out there, for crying out loud. So we don't have anybody that we can stick next to Hurts to pick up that blitz. And that is something that is they've got to fix. They have to realize it's going to happen. It's like this coaching staff are high school quality. They should have seen this last year. Mm-hmm. And anticipated this, but they're just playing the same old game. We saw everything that we saw on the field. We saw last year, we saw this year. Now, granted, we saw a lot more points, and a big factor for that was A.J. Brown and the running of Miles Sanders, but we didn't give Sanders the ball near enough. But as it is, I'm glad that they scored 31 points offensively, and I think that the offense needs a lot of credit for that. I think Hurts needs a lot of credit. Brown certainly does. Defense, though, like I said, to give up 35, That's a lot they're going to have to answer for, especially letting the Lions back in the game. It reminded me of Schwartz used to let teams back in the game when we got up comfortably. And I don't want, and this is, again, I've always called Gannon Schwartz 2.0, and he's not proven me wrong yet. If he doesn't, and this is just an easy prediction, if he doesn't change it up, Kirk Cousins will throw for 400 yards against the Eagles. Justin Jefferson will have 200 yards against us and two touchdowns, easy. Dalvin Cook, if you think DeAndre Swift ran for 150, wait to see what Dalvin Cook does to this defense. Mm-hmm. Gannon's got to address these issues this week in practice because we got a big one coming up Monday night. It is, this right now, the way things are going, this is a game of the year already. We got to make a statement at home on Monday night against the Vikings and prove to me that this team is elite, especially with the news coming out of Dallas this morning.
Yeah.
You've heard that. Dak is out.
6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
So.
And they didn't even look good with Dak.
With him.
And this is an opportunity. But the Giants pulled off a huge win. Great prediction, by the way. That was a great game. I listened to it on the drive back from Detroit, Tennessee, the Giants going over.
Crazy game.
Bold move to go for two.
Crazy
at the goal line and actually win the game and put it on Tennessee to have to drive down the field. They did their best. Tennessee let that game get by, but you've got everybody but Dallas is 1-0 in the division, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah,
Washington wins, but granted, it was Jacksonville. If the Eagles don't change these little fundamental things, this division could go to either Washington or New York, or probably New York. They've got to fix these things now, and they got to, even if they don't beat Minnesota, they have to play a much better game defensively to prove to me that Gannon can figure this out. Yeah. I'm not confident that he can.
Yeah, they have I mean, you already mentioned they're Justin Jefferson. Oh man, he could really kill us. And you still have Thielen out there. You know, Thielen still had a bunch of targets. And when you look at the Minnesota offense, they just attacked the whole game. Yeah. You know, they was just on it, and you know, just on it. But having Justin Jefferson is just that much different. Man, I don't know. We'll see, man. I think we can beat the I don't know. I actually don't know. I don't know what I'm gonna wait a little bit before I just start having those easy projections when it comes to the Eagles. I just want to see what we're doing first. You know, because, you know, this time last year, we wasn't even running the ball, and then we started running. So you just never know where we're going to end up or what type of thing we're going to catch, man. But I think get a lot of pressure on, and we'll preview the game, obviously. We get some pressure on Cousins, take care of that front four situation. It's going to be the key going forward, man. But, going against two really good wide receivers and a solid quarterback, you know, he's
– better than Goff.
Yeah, he's better than Goff. Yeah, better than Goff.
He's had his detractors.
Crazy thing is, Goff has more playoff wins than Kirk Cousins.
That's true.
How about that? You know, Goff has won to the Super Bowl. So it just shows you, you know, depends on what team you're on as well, too. So I don't know, man.
It's going to be interesting on both sides of the ball. And we'll do a full breakdown on Wednesday at 3 o'clock here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. So you can catch that on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and Twitch. We're going to break down that. But, yeah, just a little bit preview. Za'Darius Smith, Harrison Smith, Eric Kendricks. Their defense is one of the best in the league. They smacked Green Bay in the mouth on Sunday. So I expect the Monday night game, if the Eagles don't come out with their best and shake off this preseason rust and actually put this Lions game behind them and start playing more aggressively, both sides of the ball, you know, route running aggressively, running aggressively, then it could be a dangerous situation, but we'll break that down in full on Wednesday. But it, when all is said and done, it is a win to win. They're 1-0.
It is, man. It's a good win.
It is a good win. It was I walked out of the stadium. I was drained. I thought I literally, my throat was gone. And
it was a good win. Yep. It was a good win. We're happy that the Cowboys lost. Not happy that Washington pulled it out, because at one point, the game was just sloppy when Wentz went back-to-back interceptions. And you know, I'm looking at the game, I'm like, damn, yo, this is two top two pick quarterbacks. You know, T-Law going number one and Wentz going number two. And I'm just like, man, these guys are stinking it up. But then Wentz had that late two touchdowns back to back, boom, boom. That's what the biggest difference in the game. But it was like ebb and flow to that one as well, too. I'm just like, man, these is two top two picks, and they don't even put up 20 points. You know, back-to-back picks, and Wentz had to hold his head. But luckily, I think Ron Rivera went over there and talked to him, man, and he bounced back in that fourth quarter. But it was so many opportunities for Jacksonville to win that game. They were up for the majority of the game.
Yeah.
With all of those weapons. Matt, I sat Christian Kirk. Oh, I probably would have won the money this week if I would have played Christian Kirk. But anyway. But yeah, man.
I'm excited, man. To be honest, we're not going to go into every game, but what a wild week. There was a lot of surprises, a changing of the guard, and I think, like I said, I think that we haven't seen the last of Detroit. I'm just glad that we're done with them right now for this regular season. I'm not saying the Lions will make the playoffs. I think that if they had, everybody said it around us, and as we were walking out, everybody agreed. If they had something that was just halfway better than golf, that would have been a different outcome, as bad as our defense played. So I think, let's hope that we get Davis some more reps. N'Kobe Dean needs more reps. We need to get more guys out there.
Absolutely. N'Kobe Dean needs more reps.
They need to be getting to Cousins and not sitting back. I don't know why Gannon thinks that sitting back is going to win you ball games. You need to get after him. And let's hope that's what happens. We'll see how it goes. I don't know. But we'll talk about it. We're done talking about this one. I will say, yeah, it was mostly negative, so I apologize for that. That seems to be the thing for Eagles fans. That's what I took away from it. I'm happy. I am happy. If they'd have lost that game, could you imagine what this would have been like? I would have been ready to jump off the friggin' Queensboro Bridge, whatever. But yeah, it was bad.
Unbelievable. Yeah, man. It shouldn't have been that close of a game at all, but we did pull it out. We did get the dub. We did get a way win, you know. It's an away win. That's good. It's always good to get an away win. Now we have Minnesota coming to our house on Monday night. Should get it rocking. It should be a
got some work.
It should be a hell of an atmosphere. We should bring it, man. We should bring. I hope they troll Rager if he's out there.
They should.
You know they're going to. They should. You know they're going to. Yeah, it's Philadelphia. So man, really excited about the next game coming up. And can't wait to preview it, man. Can't wait to preview it shortly.
And we'll be here on Wednesday at 3:00 again to preview that. If you like the show and you want to see more, you can always subscribe on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook Live, and you always know when we go live, so you can watch that. Also, again, any of your podcast providers, we're out there on all of them just about. So you can look for us, you can listen to us in your car. I made sure my friend who was a Cowboys fan got to listen to our podcast on the way up, just so.
That's what's up.
You know, he said one thing that was really interesting. I forgot to mention what he said that kind of stunned me was that he said, you know what? The Lions are not respecting Hurts at all. And you're all respecting golf way too much. Mm. And I was like, wow, that was from the mouth of a Cowboys fan. that hurts even more because he's telling the truth. But then they turned around and really looked bad last night. So anyway, thank you for joining us on to week two. We put this behind us. We still have a smile on our face. Let's move forward and see if we can get some improvement going, because right now it's all to play for. The Eagles are in a great position right now with the Cowboys being hurt. They can take control of this position in the NFC East if they have a great game on Monday night. So with that, I'm going to turn it over for Tubby for his final parting words of the week.
Thanks again for stopping by the Where Eagles There podcast. As always, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. We'll catch you on Wednesday.